The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to the women, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." In the name of the Father, and the risen Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Well, happy Easter to you all. It is so wonderful to see you on this day. What a glorious morning it is here at Calvary. We especially welcome our visitors, our extended family members that we only get to see on vacation weekends or time when school is out. So please linger after the service so that we can catch up and get to know you better. This is absolutely, without a doubt, the most celebrated day in the Christian church. And I love that. And I love that. But I do wonder whether we actually spend a lot of time thinking about what our celebration is really about. I get so caught up in Easter activities that have nothing to do with the resurrection, at least as far as I can tell, that I worry that possibly the Easter message becomes somewhat of an afterthought of the day, and not as significant as some of the other things that we are doing today. And of course, I'm as guilty as anyone because, of course, the first thing I did this morning was check my Easter basket and sample a handful of jelly beans to make sure that the Easter Bunny remembered what I like for brain food, of course. It was my vitamins for the morning. And yes, after I got to church, I found where the ladies had left me a personal packet of those special cookies that the kids got today for their Easter egg hunt. And yes, Travis and Amber hunted eggs yesterday at some Methodist church in Sugar Land, and again today, and of course they have Easter baskets. And so, therefore, I'm preaching to myself when I ask, "And exactly where is the risen Lord in all of that, Father Paul?" Has Easter become just another holiday, except with nicer clothes and better flowers? And of course, by making sure we get to church, at least this time. And don't misunderstand, because that's good. That's good. All of those things are good. They bring families together. Look how they brought our church family together. But that's not what Easter is. And so to remind ourselves of why we are here this morning, I invite you to look again with me at our gospel lesson and hear what Matthew says Easter is all about. And we begin by setting the scene, because in order to fully appreciate the miracle of Easter Sunday, we first must appreciate what happened on Friday and Saturday. Because we all know the end of the story so well that maybe we tend to kind of mentally bypass the absolute sadness and agony of Holy Week. And so let's review. On Good Friday, we walked the Stations of the Cross. This is Station 1, and we made our way around the church, and we stopped at each station and contemplated what had gone on in Jesus' walk to Golgotha. And right over there at Station 12, we read the words, Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross. Then yesterday morning, we came in for our short service with the altar guild mostly before we prepare this church for today's service. And the church looked nothing like it looks now. All of our ornaments were gone. There were no flowers, no hangings, no candlesticks, no linens on the altar table, no nothing here. All of it bare, dismal. No sign of Jesus anywhere. As Reverend Alicia said in her homily, there just was nothing here to remind us of Jesus. The building was literally empty of his presence. Jesus was dead, completely dead. Which, believe it or not, reminds me of a scene from one of my all-time favorite movies, Princess Bride. Any Princess Bride lovers? Let me see you. Don't be shy. Princess Bride is one of the best movies. If you haven't seen it, rent it today. Or I guess you don't rent now. Watch it on Netflix. Make it your Easter tradition. I'm sure I've seen it at least 12 or 15 times. Anyway, one of the best scenes in the movie is when it's about Wesley and Buttercup. You know, this is true love. Princess Buttercup and Wesley find each other and then they get separated. But at any rate, so Wesley runs into trouble with the evil Prince Humperdinck, who's trying to kill him on this torture machine. His friends get there, maybe not in the nick of time, because Wesley certainly appears dead. So they carry him literally to Miracle Max. And Miracle Max is a great character. He's played by Billy Crystal. And so Miracle Max, you know, he's been fired by the prince and he doesn't trust his skills, but he agrees finally that he'll try to bring Wesley back to life as long as he's paid in advance, of course. And so they lay Wesley down on this table and Miracle Max pries one of his eyes open and he shouts in there, "Hello in there." And Wesley's friends say, Max, he's dead. He can't talk." To which Max responds, "Ah, you think you know so much. It just so happens that your friend here is mostly dead." And there's a big difference between mostly dead and all dead. Because mostly dead is slightly alive. And then Max says, "Because if he's all dead, there's only one thing you can do." "What's that?" the friend asks. "Go through his clothes and look for loose change," Max answers. So my point is that there's a point. My point is that maybe in our rush to get ready for all of the fun things of Easter, and because we know the end of the story so well, we sort of put Jesus in that mostly dead category for a couple of days. And don't think of him as all dead. But he was all dead. In fact, remember that the soldiers cast lots and divided his things among them, just like Miracle Max said you did when you're all dead. Jesus was dead. And that's the point at which our story starts this morning. When the women get up early to go to the tomb, they are in the deepest agony imaginable. They have witnessed Jesus' death with their own eyes. They have heard him cry out to God. They have felt him take his last breath and watched as they carried him to the tomb. They know he is dead. And they are in shock and suffering greatly. The most important person in their life is gone, and they're not sure now where to turn or what to do next. But they do know they need to go to the tomb. They've had no opportunity to pay their last respects, no chance to get close enough to touch his body or to say goodbye. And so they go to try to see him one more time. But Matthew tells us that as they get close to the cave, they're startled by the ground suddenly moving and the appearance of an angel at the tomb, who immediately says to them, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." And look how differently the guards react to the angel than Mary Magdalene and the other Mary do. We read that the guards were so frightened, they were like dead men, completely immobilized by their fear. But the women not only keep their wits, they're also able to hear and understand and act on what the angel tells them. They hear the angel say, "Jesus is no longer here in the tomb where you are looking. He's been raised from the dead." And that they are to go and tell others that Jesus will go ahead of them and meet them in Galilee. What a preposterous thing to hear. How could that possibly compute for them? Yet they do obey. They do obey, and we read that they leave both in fear and great joy. Fear, I'm sure, because they've been asked to do something and accept something that's far beyond their comprehension. How in the world can they imagine that Jesus is alive and somehow getting his way to Galilee? But also great joy because their faith tells them it just might be true. And then they start back to tell the others. To tell the others what the angel has said to them. And as they're walking, Jesus interrupts them. Jesus himself interrupts them to make sure they truly understand that he's not dead now. He is alive. And most importantly, to make sure they understand Easter is about life and about living the resurrected life and not about death on the cross. And he tells the Marys to go and tell the disciples, as the angel did, that he will wait for them in Galilee. So we learn a very important truth in that. We learn that Easter is not about looking for the dead Jesus back at the tomb. It's not about trying to find signs of him in religious artifacts or diggings. It has nothing to do with the historical Jesus. We are to look for him where he is waiting for us. Jesus waits in Galilee. He waits out there. And we're to look wherever that is for us. We look there for Jesus, that place. And we're to live in the expectation of encountering him out there daily, where he's waiting. Because we understand that Easter's not just a day. Easter's not just an annual celebration of a long ago miraculous event. Easter is a state of being. Easter is a state of being. It's a state of expectant hope. It's a state of hope that is born from the belief and understanding that Jesus was dead, but now is fully alive. Fully alive. Alive and present to us in the here and now. Not just alive to the two Marys or the disciples or those to whom he showed himself in the 40 days that he walked on earth, but alive now, today, tomorrow, next week, alive and waiting for us to come and meet him. And knowing that Christ has conquered death sets us free. Sets us free. Whatever your circumstance, whatever has a hold on you, Jesus tells you this morning that you are free of that. Because once you're truly free from the fear of death, then you're also free from anything the world can say or do to you. God has brought life out of death. Easter is a feast of freedom. So go and tell the world. Go and tell the world. Jesus Christ was dead, but now is risen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.